The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco. And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, Josh Rodriguez, and Kyle Yeomans.
It is a playoff edition of Say It With Your Chest Friday here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. Not only are we saying it with your chest, but we're seizing everything going into the wild card round. AT&T Stadium, it's the Cowboys and the Packers, 3:30 on Sunday. We've got Isaiah Standback, we've got Nick Harris, the great Josh Rodriguez in the building, and Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Gentlemen, it's almost here. Feels like the longest week of the year, just waiting and waiting and waiting to finally see this match.
I was just about to say that. This feels like the longest week ever. Maybe it's because I didn't cover the game last week, so it's going to be like 2 weeks since I've been at one. But, man, this feels like it should be game time already. But a couple more days, we'll be there.
You're coming off a bye week. You should be rested and refreshed.
Kind of a bye week. It was like a Thursday night game, like the mini bye.
Yeah, mini bye.
I'm coming off a mini bye.
Okay. Yeah. Playoff time. It feels like the intensity in the building's ramped up
a little bit.
Everybody is just locked in. I mean, from the players to the coaches to the
analysts,
support staff to the, I don't know, man.
Writers.
You've had a down week.
Ooh,
I'm just kidding.
Call him out.
Well, he didn't get to do film room. They said no film room this week. They said we don't want to give away secrets.
Yeah, they definitely took my
That's how good of a week he's had is that they said we're not trying to give away secrets.
You remember a couple years ago? I was finding stuff in film room
George
against
Kittle.
Playoff teams.
It was George Kittle in 21.
And now they took my film room away from me.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
It's all good.
Yeah, good for you.
It's okay.
Yes, the analysts are also locked in.
It's all good.
Staff members in the building.
I'm still going to prepare. Whether or not they want me to put it on film or not, I'm prepared, baby.
Security's locked in.
It's freaking go.
Did you find anything?
You just drop film room as soon as kickoff hits.
No.
That would be funny.
Dude, that was crazy.
I'm
talking about a couple years ago.
Yeah.
There were things that we couldn't talk about on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to share it with the individuals across the building.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked out great.
Like LVE being a defensive end on certain packages.
No.
It wasn't our
This was the
tell.
Opponent.
Oh, it was a tell about an opponent.
Found something on the film, baby. Found it on the film.
Yeah.
And we went to go do a segment in the studio. They were like, nope, can't talk about that. I was like, what?
I love how, like, everybody just
Who makes those calls?
Nick
if
Harris.
We can say that on the air.
I don't know. It came down from above, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could depend on whoever's listening.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
fascinating.
It's happened more than once. That was the biggest one. He was talking about a tell with George Kittle when you knew he was going to be in run block or pass block. He did the same thing pre snap. I can't remember what the tell was,
and he
was like it was automatic. He got to the point where he was like, all right, just to make sure I'm not crazy, I'm going to tell you what the tell is and then call it. And I did it on five straight plays, and it was.
Yeah.
Right, five straight plays. Like, it was pretty obvious, and so they ran it across the
field. We sure could have used that in week five, Isaiah.
It wasn't important.
I think George might have figured it out by now.
Did you have a tell on the undershirt he had in week five?
No,
by
did
chance?
Not see that. Did not see that one happening.
I hope if they play in the NFC title game and somebody scores on the Cowboys side like a game-winning touchdown and they're going to run away with it and they're going to the Super Bowl, that somebody lifts up the shirt and it says – blank San Fran, just to reverse it.
I don't know. It's like a 20 grand reversal.
Yeah, that's true. It's not my money.
Yeah, exactly.
It ain't my money. So.
Exactly. It's my enjoyment.
You should do it.
No, I think I'm all right.
Post-game show.
Well, I see what you guys did there with the hats, too.
First word.
Did you guys tell the people what it is at the stadium this weekend?
Oh, it's whiteout.
Yeah,
whiteout
it is.
Yep.
Yeah, wear white to the stadium on Sunday.
White Air Force Ones. Don't wear black ones.
Ooh.
Wear the white ones.
I like this.
White Air Force Ones. White Dunks.
White shoes.
White Blazers.
Yeah.
Jordans.
I don't have Jordans, Kyle. You know this.
Yes, you do.
I have no Jordans.
You've got some.
I got these.
Oh, yeah,
there we go. There we go.
There you
I'm
go.
Breaking out the fours.
Hey, white draws.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
White draws all the way down. Dare you wear white draws? This is the week to break them out. Okay. You go get you some Fruit of the Looms there, Beamer. Yep. They're fruities.
Not the whiteies.
They're Fruit of the Looms, baby.
Not the
whiteies. Oh yes, the all white
whiteies. No.
Two things white I will never wear: underwear and socks.
Why is that?
Just it's just.
No, you don't trust yourself to wear white draws?
Being, I'm just not wearing white
draws.
Do
you not trust yourself to wear white draws?
I'm just not wearing white draws.
That's what I'm asking you.
I could get like a dirt stain on it and people would think it's
new. Why would you have a dirt stain on your underwear?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Are you running? Are you almost commando?
Things happen.
Maybe he's playing
baseball.
Can you
do a cartwheel?
No.
Okay.
White socks are crisp, though. I don't understand the socks part.
The socks, they just look nerdy. That's all. Yeah, just don't like
with
white
nerdy
socks.
Yeah, just
I don't like white
why,
socks.
Why not?
What's
just
the last?
I used to make fun of people with white socks. Hey, I can't wear white.
What
socks.
What is the last year you wore white draws?
Last year?
The last year that you put on a pair of white draws?
Probably when I wore diapers when I was like 2.
I can't. I don't know. A couple years ago, 2 years ago,
you
approximately.
You're bold.
I probably. High school.
I commend you, sir.
What about I like you, man. Huh?
Like early high school.
I haven't purchased white draws in a very long time. It's probably...
The Talking Cowboys haters are really
we're probably
going to go after him.
Yeah, they're like, why aren't they talking football?
Talking draws, man.
White out on Sunday. Bring the energy.
White out, baby.
It was funny yesterday. Our producer, Caden Gates, actually asked the question to Dak. He was asking about the fans
Caden
and
definitely
how excited
wears white
it
draws.
Is. Don't throw Caden under the bus like that. But he asked Dak Prescott the question of, like, how much do the fans play a factor, and are you excited to be in AT&T Stadium for playoff atmosphere? And he didn't even let the question finish, but he cut off Caden, and he goes, blank yeah. Like, yeah. Mm. Like, that was his answer. He was, I mean, you could tell it was genuine. Like, he's pumped to be at home and be at AT&T Stadium. But
I want to make a request for the fans. For the fans. You guys know how everybody gets really excited, right? And they wait for the guys to break the huddle. When an opposing team is coming to the line of scrimmage, they start getting loud. My request for the fans that are listening, okay? I know everybody in Cowboy Nation is listening to Talking Cowboys.
Of course.
The best podcast. Yeah. But start making noise when they come from the sideline into the huddle. Like, when guys are in the huddle, that's when you want to be loud, because that's when they're trying to communicate exactly what the play is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
So,
there might
so
be
not a, just the adjustments at the line.
Yeah. Like, the play's already called at the line of scrimmage. Now, they might change it, right? But the initial play was already called, and they're at the line of scrimmage ready to run that. They can go on silent count. The biggest impact, this is a little insight from the player's perspective. Mm-hmm. The biggest impact the crowd can have on players, okay, outside of the offensive lineman on snap counts, is going to be when you're trying to communicate as a quarterback to your team in the huddle what the play call is. So if you make a bunch of noise when those guys are huddled up and they can't hear that, it's like playing a bad game of telephone.
Hmm.
You guys remember the old school game telephone?
Yeah.
Now you start in one end, you tell somebody, and by the time it gets down to the end, like, it's totally something different.
Okay.
That's what it's like when you're trying to communicate to those 10 other guys in the huddle what the play call is. You're trying to cover your ears, and you're trying to hear your coach talking through those speakers in your helmet. For people who forget what's going on there, coach is talking in your helmet, giving you the play call. You're trying to hear that, and it sounds like freaking Morse code already. So the louder you get, the harder it is to interpret that. And then he has to, in turn, the quarterback, communicate that to the other 10 guys.
You know what always, like, leaves me question at the end of the day? Like, why don't stadiums put, like, an instructional video, like, on Jumbotrons or everything? Like... like, hey, get loud at these moments, or is that like against NFL rules? Because it just feels like too easy to like be like, hey, like, let's do it at this time, like you said, or let's do it at that time. And then when the offense is on the field, please just shut up. You know?
But, or we should just pull an Arthur Blank and just have like a like as soon as they get in the huddle. You know what I mean? Just,
you
like,
know what? The crowd's going to be pleasantly surprised. There's going to be some surprises on the big board this week to get people turned up a little bit.
Yeah. You got a plug on that?
Maybe.
It's okay. Me shirtless on the building.
Wow.
Wow.
Pumping up the
crowd.
You're
going to see a pregnant Italian woman come in there hot as hell, looking at everybody's eyes. You turn away. You turn away.
Stop looking.
Meanwhile, my shirt's up in the press box. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's related quickly.
Somebody comes over. Shh.
Everybody in the crowd's looking at the Jumbotron like, what the hell is this? And then there's just one guy in the press box with his shirt off and it's Nick Harris. It's like, it worked.
It's my last day on the job, man.
I knew he had on white.
And then you have to stay quiet for the rest of the game in like a half-wrapped t-shirt.
That's good stuff. Goodness. That's good stuff. I like the instructional side of things, though, because
Taking it to whiteout to a whole new level.
Yeah, that's a whiteout, all right. It's the middle of January,
exactly,
guys.
It's definitely a total whiteout. Yeah. Fully white.
It's okay. Back on topic. The
I'm hot now. Oh god, fully white. All right.
So I was going to ask you this specifically. So I feel like in college stadiums, it's pretty common to have loud crowds consistently, mm-hmm, to where when you are communicating, correct, in a huddle like that and you are having that conversation, it's upended to a certain extent.
Yeah.
My first thought, just since we're in Texas, Kyle Field. They are loud all the time, okay, all the way through. They are. I mean, Texas.
I know, but
DKR
like
is there too. I get it. My first thought is because they're doing the yells and whatever the, mm-hmm, silly stuff they're doing down in College Station. But when you're in the NFL, is there a specific NFL stadium that's loud the entire time?
Seattle.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's built.
I know y'all gonna say that, but no, but like seriously, I have never been in a stadium that's louder than Seattle.
Yeah.
Not even Arrowhead.
Kansas City.
Kansas City's loud, but it was not that. You gotta remember, I was on the team when Marshawn broke the big run. So yeah, like that literally registered on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
Like, it gets pretty stupid in there.
Yeah, the thing about college stadiums is that there's so much rich tradition that, like, that just carries over so easily year, yeah, after, mm-hmm, year after year. NFL, it's really tough because the fans are being replaced, correct, every year. So it's, correct, like, it's
Oregon was the loudest in college.
Oregon
was the loudest I experienced.
Not even
in college.
Washington?
Interesting.
Washington gets stupid as
I
well.
Was
but
say,
like,
I heard
Oregon,
Washington's like top three.
Yeah, it is. But when you're the opponent, Oregon sucks.
Yeah. LSU's insane.
Like, I feel like I college imagine, has, yeah, like, an unfair advantage because they have tubas.
Marching,
you know what I'm
bands.
Saying? Like,
yeah,
they have marching
that
bands.
That is true.
Who does?
Say tubas again.
Tubas, dude. Like, that is just a loud word to begin with.
Where is this again?
In college.
Oh, in college. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought there was like an NFL stadium that had tubas like around the.
It Nick should. Was like, I'm booking my ticket right now.
I was like, what?
Well, I mean, Vikings, I guess, they have like the
skulls.
The Ravens have a marching band, don't they?
Do they really?
Don't the Ravens have a band? I'm pretty sure they do.
Is it a drum line?
No,
or is it a full band?
It's a full band.
That's dope.
Bless you.
So does the Commanders.
But if you have tubas, I'd say.
It's like the only fans.
They never play. They play on scoring drives. It doesn't happen.
If you got the brass section helping out your I don't know how loud it is.
Mike from New York is texting in on the line. He said,
please talk about the Cowboys.
He said, my cousin and I will be at the game, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. Let's go Cowboys with 6! And then he says, I'll get our stadium pumped.
Let's go. Mike can do it. Mike can do it. If anybody can do it, it's Mike.
I need Mike to come find us and say hi. That's what I need to happen. I need Mike to come say hi to the Talking Cowboys crew.
Come say what's up to us when we're doing a
pregame show. He's like an honorary member of Talking Cowboys. All right, let's get into some news and notes.
Yeah.
Quickly from yesterday's practice.
Yeah, we'll dive into this really quick. As far as the injury report, that's where we always start. It's where we'll start today. There are three big notes to come off of it, and they're all three positive. So for the Cowboys, at least. We can start off with Stephon Gilmore, if you remember from the show yesterday, that the plan was to get him on the practice field by Saturday. They were going to rehab him Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then put that harness on and see how he can operate with it on Saturday and then make a determination for Sunday, but there was still confidence. He got on the field yesterday, so he was limited. Yesterday, put that harness on. Mike McCarthy spoke on 105.3 The Fan this morning and said that he was comfortable playing with the harness and that he expects him to be ready to go on Sunday. So, obviously, it's a limiting injury, but it looks like he's going to be able to play. And getting back on the field yesterday was very, very big. Two other big notes come from the Green Bay Packers side. So Jaire Alexander, their star corner, who's kind of battled some injury and battled some suspensions as well this season, or just one. he was downgraded to did not practice yesterday with a shoulder and ankle injury. He was limited on Wednesday, but did not practice yesterday. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. And then as well as their starting left guard, Elgton Jenkins, I cannot say that first name, knee ankle injury, did not practice yesterday. He was downgraded from being limited again on Wednesday. And then also A.J. Dillon continues to not practice, their second running back in that running back room. So
that's huge.
Quite a bit of big injuries for the Green Bay Packers. If their left guard cannot go, if a big-time rushing presence in their backfield cannot go, and A.J. Dillon or if Jaire Alexander can't go, all three of those are big. We'll talk about Jaire a little bit more in the next segment as well. But all of those are positive notes for the Cowboys.
Which one is the greatest impact, you think?
Stephon Gilmore.
No.
From
Green Bay.
I would probably say left guard.
Yeah,
because you look at Jonathan Hankins and what he's been able to do in the running game since when he's in the equation. If they have a backup left guard, man, that'll be able to help stop Aaron Jones a little bit more. And
like a lot.
That kind of goes into my next point. Can I talk about rush defense really quick?
Yeah, of course.
Go ahead and jump right into this next point that I want to make.
Yeah.
So I talked to a lot of guys in the locker room yesterday, and I was kind of going with the intention of finding, you know, what their approach is with rush defense this week, because you look at what Aaron Jones has put together this season, and he's had over half of his yards in the last 3 weeks. Granted, he's battled injury, but 358 yards in the final three games, leads the NFL. We've talked about that this week. So talking to Jonathan Hankins, DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, they're taking that challenge very seriously going into this week, especially when you consider what Aaron Jones has done against the Cowboys in his three career games. I believe he's averaging around 125 yards whenever he's playing the Cowboys. So yeah, it's another Green Bay Packers playoff matchup, and it's another Aaron that's coming into town looking to wreak some havoc. So, but it looks like the approach is being taken correctly by the defensive unit, and they're taking this very seriously. I think this is the biggest offensive weapon that Green Bay could have on Sunday. It's the only thing that would give me bubble guts if I was on the defensive staff.
Yeah, I was looking at these numbers, just talking about the run defense specifically. With Jonathan Hankins in the fold, the Cowboys are 11-3. They've allowed 17 points per game and have allowed 102 rushing yards per game. That's weeks 1 through 14 and then week 18. Without Jonathan Hankins, the Cowboys are 1-2. They've allowed 24 points per game and 161 rushing yards per game, and that was the 3 weeks between weeks 15 through 17.
Oh, that's just a quinky dink, Kyle.
Is it? You think so? I think not. I think this is – I think Jonathan Hankins is the missing cog to that inside – that interior to the defensive line. And I like the physicality that they upticked from the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't always perfect against Miami, against Detroit, and then even a little bit at times against Washington, I like there was a considerable effort to be physical in the run game and in stopping the run. That's something that we didn't even have our hat to hang on early in the season. And it's something that I think is an improvement from this team. And with Jenkins being added to that physicality, I'm so much more confident in the run defense than I would have been early in the season.
Yeah, and Green Bay, they use a variety of gap schemes and pullers, and Hankins does such a good job of just overwhelming those from the snap, and his get-off is great in those instances. It's a really big addition to have him.
I was going to say, even Mike has been better at run defense
over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, better than he's been all season, more so the last three games. And I think we had this discussion earlier in the year, is like, who would be your best, you know, your number one run defender? Would it be DeMarcus Lawrence or would it be Jonathan Hankins? And I think all of us were on DeMarcus Lawrence, and then you were fighting for Jonathan Hankins early on in the season. I think you've been proven right for the most part, but they've stepped up since then.
No, you don't have to tell him that.
It's okay.
yeah, please don't make it.
No, D-Law's an absolute goon, and he's been a huge
reason.
He's been
incredible.
He's been absolutely amazing.
You don't want to be missing either of them.
No, obviously. Absolutely not. But like, I think just from a fan's perspective, I hope that they acknowledge the impact that D-Law's had on this defense this year. And a lot of times you think about defensive ends and their presence in terms of rushing the quarterback. D-Law's presence has been primarily felt against the run. And he's been very disruptive. And when I say disruptive, I mean, like, to your point, the reason why, you know, when D-Law and Hankins, I'll say them in conjunction with each other, when those guys are both present on the field, teams really can't pull. They really can't pull because these guys are able to push the offensive lineman back into the backfield or simply just penetrate and get to the backfield, get 1 or 2 yards deep, and now they disrupt the blocking scheme of those guys that are trying to pull and wrap around guys and get up to the next level. Those guys are knocking guys back. We saw it a couple weeks ago when D-Law took three guys out in one play. Those guys were trying to pull guards and centers and all that stuff, and he just simply disrupted it, right? So a lot of those plays are timing plays. A lot of those plays require you to hold, you know, kind of the defensive player to kind of stay in one spot for maybe half a second just so you can get the leverage you need. And both of those guys don't allow for that. So when you play with those two guys on the defensive front together, you really have to turn your running game to just simply just downhill.
I have a name in mind when I ask this question, but I'm curious to see where you guys go with it. But if Jonathan Hankins and DeMarcus Lawrence are run defenders' importance number one and number two on your defense, who's number three?
Damone Clark.
Okay.
Nope. Osa.
Chief. See, I was thinking Osa.
Oh, that's valid.
I mean,
no, he would like DeMone to be.
DeMone could be three if he was clean and would make
the decision. DeMone would be much better. He'll be a much better player next year. I love DeMone. I love his size. I love his preparation. He has to learn this offseason how to keep offensive linemen's hands off of him.
Right? I wasn't saying like third most talented.
Impactful. I asked for importance, but I meant talented.
Oh, okay, yeah, importance. I was thinking.
I misasked the question.
Who needs to be that three guy? And I was thinking, got you. But yeah, if it was like impact, I would say Osa.
If that's the case, if we're talking about importance, I think I would agree with you. You need DeMone Clark to be that guy because then you have the interior cover, the outside cover, and you have the second level cover.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about right now, who's the third best run defender on your team?
Jordan Lewis.
I say Osa.
Jay Lewis in that
argument. Really good.
Malik Hooker as well is a really good run defender on this team.
I think he's graded as the best run. I think he's graded best against the run as far as cornerback. Jordan Lewis.
Jay Lewis has been a dog in terms of like
in general.
Oh, my goodness. Like his impact from that position group has been tremendous against the run. There would be substantially so many more big runs if it hadn't been for Jay Lewis' willingness. We've talked about the willingness from the cornerback position in recent years. There. Hasn't always been there. Jay Lewis has stepped up in a major way. I think Gilmore has been somewhat willing majority of the time, but I don't consider Gilmore to be a big physical guy unless you call him old.
Especially this week.
Okay?
Unless you call him old.
Unless you call him old, right? Trayvon Diggs, we know in his past, and then obviously in the games this year, he was more physical, forcing an interception early in the year prior to his injury. Then Jay Lou has really taken that upon his shoulders to be that enforcer from the cornerback room. Not from the secondary necessarily, but from that cornerback room. You need to have an impact, especially if you can get that out of your nickel. Because that's the next man up who has an opportunity to come out and make a play once you get outside of the tackle box.
Yeah, Jordan Lewis, you want to go ahead and...
No, go ahead.
Jordan Lewis is the second highest graded cornerback when it comes to rush defense in the entire NFL.
That's awesome.
De'Ron Bland is tied for fourth, by
the
way.
Hey!
De'Ron's shown a willingness to
come up
and
hit. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think both of those guys have. I mean, there were times when that was a main criticism of Trayvon Diggs. If he did not have the willingness to come up and hit. And then after the criticism hit, there were some times where he would show it. But at the same time, that's not what he's doing.
Yeah,
that's
but he, he started out, prior to his injury, he started out this year being physical. Like, He flipped the
completely
switch.
Agree.
You know, the first interception run back for a touchdown for De'Ron Bland was because of Trayvon Diggs. Yeah. Sitting in cover two, track corner, came up and made a big hit.
I want to say he had a tackle for loss in that Jets game, too. Like, he was balling.
Playing well.
Yeah.
I really can't wait for us to have, like, it's going to be one of those where we have a weekly show in the offseason, and we're going to spend, like, an entire Wednesday episode talking about this cornerback situation and what the hell they're going to do this offseason.
Yeah.
Because it's such a decision. Well, it's such a decision.
Well, if they really wanted to, they can make some decisions. They could draft somebody at 32, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah. 32.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, that means we would have to.
Yeah.
Trade up.
Yeah, trade back out.
Trade back out. All right. Anything else, news and notes, before we take our first break?
I did want to dive into this really, really fast. Mm-hmm. Micah Parsons was asked yesterday about the potential of Dan Quinn taking another job and just, you know, kind of the impact he's had on his career. They came into Dallas at the very same time back in 2021. And Parsons obviously was really, you know, paid his respects towards, towards Dan Quinn. And he said, that's like my OG for real. He means a lot to me, not only because it's just about football. We were talking today and I said, you're just such a great mentor. I think he does a great job of finding ways for you to love the game and finding ways to go around the game. And then he kind of joked later on in like his little spiel, and he was like, who knows, he might take me with him. And everybody's like, ha 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 ha.
Everybody's throwing things.
It was a joke though, and I think people saw the quote on Twitter too, and gosh, the freak out sessions were there, and I knew it would happen. And It was kind of funny to see team personnel in the corner whenever he said that. They were just like,
that gives people a bubble. I have another bubble guts when we come back from break.
As soon as Micah said that, like, Will McClay, Steven Jones, and Jerry Jones all appeared in the hallway. Like, it was like a cloud of dust, and then they were there.
Yeah, and they had like big money bags.
I have some more bubble guts when we come back, Kyle.
No, why you got to do that going into break?
The bubblies.
It's not the tease I want to talk about.
Speaking of Louis bags, I promise, last thing.
Okay.
So Dak said in his walk-off yesterday that he's been buying like a ton of Louis bags, and specifically the ones that have the LV logos all over them. Yep. Y'all know what I'm talking about if y'all are Louis fans out there. because he wants it to be a reminder that Las Vegas is the goal. I thought that was kind of interesting. So weird flex, an excuse okay. for yeah, I said slight flex, but kind of a calculated one, you know. But
it is cool.
Hey man, whatever you want to justify yeah. your spinning habits, Will, yeah. I am okay with.
I have
that,
a Luis.
I do the same thing.
Luis.
I justify my spinning. You got
a Luis. Have a Luis. Yeah. Have a Luis Voltron.
Yeah, Ultra. The only time I've seen that logo is whenever Isaiah brings it into pregame.
Right, yeah. Right. I actually did just get a gift, though. My best friend bought me one for Christmas.
Dang, you got some good friends.
Yeah. Who was it? Tom Brady?
No, Thomas was not my
Bill best Belichick?
Friend. Bill, that's my guy.
Bill.
Shout out to Bill.
Shout out to Bill.
Shouts all right. to Bill.
When we come back here on Talking Cowboys, it's time to talk some key matchups. Plus, I don't know what Isaiah is Bubbles. Talking about with these bubble guts, but we'll hear about it. When we come back right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a yes. super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Did you get him in?
Josh.
Yeah. I saw him. I saw him.
You saw him? You got yeah. a witness?
I also
Thank
got
goodness.
Him in.
He got him in too. That's right. Double time, baby.
Nick Harris?
No. I don't worry.
I had some Pop-Tarts this morning.
Ooh.
I had them toasted. Oh,
let's go.
Mm-hmm.
How
Where about they're it? Supposed to be.
Did you see
what
the
flavor?
Did you see the segment from social media? All the guys responding to it?
Yeah. Yeah. We got zero credit.
No
for
credit
that.
For that.
Zero credit.
Mm. Even though we brought it up here first. It's all right.
I may or may not have made a pit stop in the office up there.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I saw Talking you do it too. I was like, hey.
It's okay, hey, man. We're team. Hey, we're team around
keep it
here.
To ourselves.
We're team around here.
Okay. Before we get to Isaiah's bubble guts, got some text messages from the 720. As a fan from Colorado, he traveled from Colorado to the Lions game. The crowd has some moments of getting quiet.
So he challenges the fans. He says, we all need to have no voice after this game is over and make as much noise as possible throughout the game.
Yes.
Big time.
In your face.
Abe in Las Vegas says, I have two cheeseheads here at work. They're already chirping. I don't know what you've got to chirp about. The game hadn't even started yet. I have a really good feeling that we will get the dub. That's from Abe in Las Vegas. You know what, Abe, here, if your friends are spending every day listening to Talking Packers or whatever they have on their show, that's one thing.
Talking
I do know. So Abe listens every single day.
There you go. So, appreciate you, Abe.
Yeah, keep going, Abe. Keep doing your thing. Then Dean from Green Bay. He's a Cowboys fan in Green Bay.
Let's go.
This is an interesting one. He said, lots of Packers fans may not be able to get to Dallas. They have a blizzard rolling through right now. Lots of flights have already been canceled. Go Cowboys.
Whoa.
Unfortunate.
No, darn.
Oh, no. You're telling me God's a Cowboys fan?
Yes. That's why that they built a hole in the roof at Texas Stadium.
Oh, that's right.
So God could watch his favorite team play football.
Forget about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Why it happens.
Then they closed it up.
Then they closed it up.
Then they said, get out of here.
We'll give you access when we want
to. They've got video boards outside.
You gotta pay for that.
Exactly.
He can watch it.
We'll retract the roof when we feel like it, God.
We have America's team already, but how obnoxious would it be if we went with God's team? God's team.
All right. Oh, all right.
Okay, real quick.
What do you want to talk about?
The Bubblies. Okay, so.
GBBGs.
I know we had some conversations in regards to DQ, right? Yeah. Dan Quinn, and obviously you just brought it up in regards to Micah and hearing some of the tones in Micah's voice gives me even more, anyways, affirmation.
Okay.
But we know that Seattle and New England are both very strategic organizations when it comes to decision making.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that New England, like Coach Belichick, is not stepping aside unless the decision is already made for who's taking his place. We know that probably about Seattle as well. New England went ahead and made their decision, what, a day after? Okay, they already announced who they're going with. Okay, and Gerard Mayo, shout out to my old teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle has not announced who their next guy is. Does that give you guys any worry?
I'm accepting that Dan Quinn is going to be
okay.
Seattle.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. All right, just making sure.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as that job opened, I was like, okay, he's gone.
I've already taken the Alka-Seltzers. I've taken the tablets. Like, my bubble guts have settled down because, yeah, I think I've accepted
it's not even really that. Like, the bubble guts have been released. Like, it's
no.
It's, yeah, it's, damage has been had.
Just basking in it.
Yeah,
I feel bad. I don't know anything. I'm not going to sit here and ask.
No, we don't know anything.
But I feel like he's
not a confirmation.
He should be gone.
I bring that up because these organizations are very, very precise in how they move, right?
Yeah.
And you know that the next man up. If you have released one of your amazing coaches, been there for years, or stepped aside, parted ways, okay, and don't release. You hold it in. Clinch, okay. Well, you clinch the division.
Bar. That division.
That is bar.
Damn, bar. I'll give you that.
New England obviously went ahead and announced because they had no reason to hesitate.
Yeah,
on their announcement,
they knew who
right?
they were going with.
Seattle, we know they're just as strategic as New England is. They have not announced. So, does that give you bubble guts? We just answered that. Obviously, does it give you bubble guts?
I like you said, I think it's all but confirmed. It's yeah. You just accept it, move on.
Yeah. And again, this is just all
this is just our speculation. This is our feelings. This is what our heart says.
Yeah, we're in the building. We get some insight on,
but
some
we don't have that much insight.
We don't have this insight. I guarantee you.
That. I don't matter that much.
none of us do. All right, key matchups.
Yeah, let's do it.
Have
let's
you
dive
released
into it.
Your key matchups list.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's we're about to release
Sweet.
It. We're going to start off with CeeDee Lamb versus Jair Alexander. Again, we spoke earlier about Correct. How Jair Alexander did not practice yesterday, so he might not play. But I it's a playoff game. I expect him to play.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, the last time that he played the Green Bay Packers up in Lambeau last year, while it was that overtime loss, he had 11 receptions for 150 yards and two touchdowns, kind of reminiscent of the stat line he had in the loss against the Eagles earlier this season, but didn't line up against Jair Alexander too much in that game. But something I want to point out here is that, and shout out to Mina Kimes from ESPN for throwing this on Twitter yesterday, the Packers are the worst team in the NFL in defending slants. Mm-hmm. And CeeDee Lamb, that's where he gets his bread and butter. That's where he gets his work. I think you might see a lot of outside work from CeeDee Lamb this week. Mm-hmm. You know, some weeks you want to see him in the slot and work out of that. We saw that against the Lions quite a bit as well. We saw that against, it was the Lions where he had the big game. But I think here you might see him working on the outside and trying to get across the middle of the field and really having that free range to be able to do that. Jaire Alexander, again, kind of a weird year, but if you look at the year he had last year, really physical, really sticky in coverage. I mean, he doesn't do anything exceptional, but he does a lot of things good. And he talks exceptionally, that's for sure. And his big hat is pretty exceptional as well. but I think if he can kind of get back to what he is, what he has been, at least at his top form, then it's still a matchup that should cause concern.
Six targets, four receptions on 12 snaps against Alexander whenever they were matched up one-on-one, according to the Next Gen Stats. 23 yards and one touchdown. So yep. Even with the four receptions, 23 yards, one touchdown against Alexander, that was just a fraction of the 11 for 150 and two touchdowns that he had against Green Bay last year. With Alexander, I know you had talked about it a little bit yesterday. With a playoff matchup, and as much as that guy really does talk, and he is, he likes to get in the head of his opponents.
He has a gift of gab.
Do you expect him to play his best game of the year if he does indeed go? And
I expect everybody to play their best game. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about players during the playoffs.
There's certain players that elevate more than others.
Correct.
Whenever
absolutely.
Playoff time comes around.
Yeah, I would expect him to. I would expect, as a cornerback, okay, cornerbacks have a certain swag about them, right? A certain confidence that they have to exude as cornerbacks in this league. Yeah,
it's the toughest job in the
It is. Whether they're talking, whether they're verbal, or whether it's internal, right? Like a Deron Bland, right? Polar opposites, right? You have Deron Bland, who's going to be like the quiet confidence, and then you have Jaire Alexander, who's going to talk it, right? Both of those guys are fully confident in their abilities, but no matter what, you have to show up, especially when you're going against a number one receiver.
Yeah.
When you're going against the number one receiver in the league, based upon what the stats show, you have to bring your A game. And if you don't bring your A game, you're going to be exposed, because you best believe that CeeDee Lamb's going to get at least 10 targets. So you're going to have opportunities to show whether or not you're elevating your game or whether you're backing down. And hopefully we get to see that matchup.
Yeah, I agree. Second matchup that we're going to dive into here is Terrence Steele versus Rashawn Gary. So Rashawn Gary is the leading sack getter for the Green Bay Packers this year. He's got 9 of them. He's active in run defense as well. There's quite a bit of things that he can do off that edge. And he's more of a guy that, like, he's an edge rusher, but you don't think of him as an edge rusher because he always comes inside whenever he's creating havoc. Something interesting about Rashawn Gary, and this is just kind of like a ode to my previous job working in recruiting, there are only 5 recruits in the history of ever, well, since 2000 when internet recruiting became a thing, 5 that scored a perfect 1 scale on the recruiting scale. So that basically means that 24/7 Sports, Rivals, and ESPN all ranked them as the number one recruit in their class. It's only happened 5 times. Rashawn Gary is one of them. So I'm curious if you guys have any guesses for who the other 4 are by chance.
Trevor Lawrence.
No, but he's very close. Very close.
How do you have years?
2011, 2013, 2002, 2003.
Vic?
Nah. I can go ahead and go down them really quick.
Go for it.
Jadeveon Clowney, Robert Nkemdiche, Vince Young, and Ernie Sims. So, and then Rashawn Gary is in that list as well.
Vince was my year.
Yeah, Vince was. He definitely was. Houston Madison. But talking about this matchup specifically.
I was going to say Isaiah Stanback.
You would have just missed it. You're in that Trevor Lawrence category.
Like 5th, maybe. Yeah. 4th or 5th quarterback. I don't know.
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, I was around there.
That's nice.
To look up Isaiah Stanback recruiting.
I think from what I remember, you were higher on Rivals than anything. So shout out to my last job. You know,
there you go.
We did it right.
Anyway,
Terrence Steele, obviously, he's had some up and down moments at times. I think on this back half of the season, he's really starting to play some of his best ball. It's going to be an interesting matchup going against Rashawn Gary. I think the number one thing that I'm looking forward to, it's not pass blocking in this matchup for me, it's run blocking, because I think there's an opportunity for this running game to have a big game on Sunday. I really do. And if they can keep Rashawn Gary out of the equation, then that obviously helps them a lot more.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this on Wednesday, obviously, but Gary doesn't bother me as much as Quay Walker bothers me. I don't like that matchup. I don't like Quay Walker versus Tony Pollard in blocking.
Yeah.
And you're going to see that matchup. Yeah. That gives me bubble guts.
As good as Tony Pollard's been in the pass blocking.
You're talking like pass pro pickup?
I'm talking about pass pro pickup. And that's not talking about the willingness of Tony Pollard. He has been amazing in that backfield. He's stepped up in a major way. Yeah. But Quay has the size, the athleticism, the agility. I mean, he's a dude. He's a dude, and that's their blitzing. That's their blitzer.
Is he that dude?
He's that dude.
Isaiah was the number 7 dual threat quarterback. He was a 4-star recruit and number 1 in the state of Washington.
Wow.
Who was ahead of me?
That's the only thing here.
We had a lot of guys that
it's like,
year.
Nick, I mean, you didn't have to call your old bosses. We got to figure this one out.
2002, top dual threat quarterback recruits. Vince Young, Marcus Vick. Michael Vick, James Banks,
the heck is James
Gavin
Banks?
No, Dickey.
Marcus Vick is his brother.
Oh, Marcus Vick. Oh, I know. But yeah, I was just making the joke because he went to Virginia Tech too. Gavin Dickey, Tyler Palko, Lester Ricard.
I don't know who those guys are. Come on now.
They're not relevant anymore, baby.
Have a Super Bowl.
Ooh, you were above Troy Smith though, who went to Ohio State.
Yeah, I came out with Troy. Came out with Jamarcus Russell,
Nick Cannon,
Brady Quinn. I mean, we were deep at quarterback that year.
Yeah, that's fun.
John
class.
Beck.
No, I'm done.
Remember John Beck?
I don't.
Trent Edwards.
I do.
Yeah.
There was a lot of quarterbacks that year.
Wow.
Jared Sobranski.
Polish.
Alex Smith.
I remember when Brady Quinn.
You were way above
the
Alex Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. Now he's just the guy on color commentating for like a random noon SEC game. It's like Missouri Vanderbilt.
He had some like protein drink commercial that we always used to make fun of. No, I'm done. Remember that?
I don't remember that. Really a quick final matchup that I'll dive into, and we can make this kind of brief. The only thing that kind of sticks out to me about this is that Deron Bland versus Christian Watson. Both of these guys came into the league at the same time. Both of these guys have had some success since they've come into the league. Christian Watson has battled injury a little bit this year. But I really love looking at young guys going up against each other, especially if they're in the same draft class. Because, I don't know, for me, if I'm a receiver, if I'm a corner, or if I'm whatever, and I'm going up against another guy that is in my same draft class that I probably saw during the draft process, I want to beat that guy. And you think back to what happened at Lambeau last year, and it was Christian Watson's coming out party. He had those 3 touchdowns, had one on Deron Bland that kind of made him look silly. So I'm sure Deron Bland, he's an even-keeled guy. You're never going to get any emotion out of him, but there's got to be something deep down inside of him. It's like, you know what? I want to get Christian Watson back. So that's going to be a matchup I'm looking forward to on Sunday.
I like that. Do you think he could kind of – do you think there's any added confidence based off of what he did against the Cowboys last year?
Christian Watson, yeah, absolutely. And that kind of plays into it as well. Yeah. So just being able to limit Christian Watson.
I need them to shut him down this week.
Do it.
Shut him down.
Shut him down.
I cannot stand Christian Watson. I mean, after that game, like, that was just ridiculous.
Yeah. He did absolutely nothing going into that game and then went off for 3 tutties.
But he's not, like, entirely healthy, is he?
Yeah, he's been battling injury most of the year, but he's playing. So he'll be ready to go.
He'll be ready to roll. All right, we're ready to roll into our, not final, but our final full pick'em segment.
Okay.
Into the regular season. Give us a call if you want to represent the fans this week, 888-855-2297. We've got a new second place holder in the pick'em standings this week. So 888-855.
Don't call me to come back.
888-855-2297. Isaiah Stanback is not the new second place holder this week. When we come back with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, it is the final pick'em segment of all six games. And this segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. You know who's smiling this week? Nick Harris, who went perfect 6-0 in his week away from Talking Cowboys.
Slight work.
Slight work.
How about him, Cowboys?
Yeah, that's what you got.
I was out scouting other teams.
That's what it was. Yeah, you were trying to make up some ground. John went 5-1. Josh also went 5-1. I went 4-2, and then both Isaiah and the fans went 3-3.
Damn,
even Steven, week. Baby. Even Steven.
Still a solid two games
I'm
above 500.
All my efforts on studying the Cowboys. I mean, that's really what's happening.
I feel you. Even though if we had to take like the Cowboy game specifically, I think I'm still like leading that one, but it's fine.
Nick is 14-3 for the Cowboys. I am 14-3 for the Cowboys. John is 14-3 for the Cowboys.
Wow.
And then Isaiah is 12-5.
Oh no.
And then the fans are 12-5.
I missed.
And then Josh is 8-3 when picking the Cowboys.
Oh gosh.
Oh, that's not great. How many games am I behind you overall?
Three.
Oh.
So it's me. 67 wins.
Do it.
Nick
do it
with
now.
64. Then it is
you can
John,
do it.
John and the fans that are five games back at 62 wins. Isaiah, dude, you're about to get caught by Josh, and that's going to be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
Keep going, Josh.
I can catch up to Isaiah.
Keep going.
I'm a great team.
Look at us.
Isaiah has 52 wins, and Josh, who's only been here for 11 weeks, has 42 wins. He's 10 games back of Isaiah right now.
Okay.
That's
right.
That's awesome.
We win some, you lose a lot.
That's it.
Again, I want to just point out that Josh is 42-18 in picking these games. This is insane. Like that's an all-time Cowboys run.
Josh
he would be far and away the best if he was here for. It's almost like you got to have like a
greatest winning percentage.
Minimum a number of attempts, like you know, like you would have.
I'm the Joe Flacco.
You have the greatest winning percentage out of everybody on the show.
Comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year. Yeah. Rookie of the year.
And I've never been here.
Yeah. But. All right, here we go. Six games to pick this week, and they're all the playoff matchups. Let's start in the AFC. Buffalo hosting Pittsburgh. We were looking at a shot in the break, and it's just an unbelievably snowed-in Buffalo Bills stadium currently. I mean, does that play a factor at all? Or are you gonna...
Absolutely. I mean, there's like a foot of snow on the ground. They're expecting 65-mile-per-hour wind gusts during the game. So, yeah, that's certainly...
That's what Isaiah played high school in.
Gosh. I'm taking the Bills, though. They're used to those conditions. I think their running game's a little bit better, too. So, give me the Bills.
Oh, wait. I forgot. We got a phone caller here. Gary in New Mexico. What's up, Gary?
I was wondering when you're over.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, Gary? Good to have you back.
Hey, real quick. I called in a few weeks ago. Yeah. I accidentally hung up on y'all guys at the end. I wasn't trying to be rude, and my wife said to make sure I apologize.
Oh,
I love that.
Man. Trust
all good,
me,
man.
You are all good, Gary. We appreciate you.
Isaiah's been so much ruder to us at times. So don't
worry. He didn't even want to call in last week. That was the whole
liars.
He didn't want to call in. Gary in New Mexico, you know how this goes. We're starting with the Bills and the Steelers. Who you got, Gary?
I got to go with Buffalo at home.
All right, I'm going with the Bills as well, Isaiah.
Yeah, Bills.
Give me the Buffalo Josh Allens.
Fighting Josh Allens. All right. This one also going to be very, very cold. Kansas City expected to be -5 degrees around kickoff, hosting the Miami Dolphins, who are 0-10 in their last 10 games where the temperature's been under 40 degrees. Isaiah, who you got?
Dang it. I got to... I want to say Miami. The internal conflict. The defense, man. They're beat up defensively in Miami. Come back to me.
Okay.
This is like the Panthers trying to win a game. Like, you're going to get the first pick. Don't worry. Just pick.
I can't pick against Mahomes. Like, I got to go with KC.
Yeah, Kansas City in the playoffs, and Miami's not used to the cold, and they're banged up. Yeah, give me Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas City. If this game was like kind of normal conditions, I'm taking Miami. But I think.
And if they were healthy, they were missing a lot.
I'm taking Kansas City.
Give me Miami.
Ooh,
I think Josh McDaniels is
in. Do it either way. Josh McDaniels or Miami McDaniels?
You know what I'm talking about.
I just want to make
Josh. Josh Adamus is on my mind. Okay, best winning percentage.
Josh Adamus.
I'm
he's hot on your heels and he's affecting you.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary, who you got?
Man, this one's a tough one because neither team is playing really good. But I go with the home team. You can't pick against Mahomes, so we'll go with Kansas City.
Arrowhead will be ready for that. Yeah. It'll be a good one. This one's a little bit tougher. Houston hosting Cleveland. The Texans sneaking in, winning the AFC division. They went in that AFC South, and then you've got Cleveland and Joe Flacco, possible comeback player of the year. Josh, I'll start with you.
There is no way Texans have a chance to win this game.
Oof.
This is the Joey Flacco comeback playoff win. His single one. This will be the Browns for sure.
Give me Cleveland, too. I think that defense is so good.
Yeah.
I like C.J. Stroud. I like what the Texans are doing. I just think Cleveland has one of the best defenses in the NFL that nobody's talking about.
Facts, yeah.
And it's Houston.
And it's Houston. I picked against Houston last week,
though. Give me the Keeblers.
Got it. Keebler Elves.
So this game happened on Christmas Eve in Houston, and it was a 36-22 win for the Browns, but C.J. Stroud did not play in that game. C.J. Stroud's the difference. Give me the Texans.
Ooh, good pick. What you thinking, Gary?
Man, I live in New Mexico, but I was born and raised in Texas. So my heart is pulling for the Houston Texans.
Okay.
That's a great story. But Cleveland's defense is too good. I got to go with Cleveland.
Ooh, he pulled a Lee Corso there. He went, and like, you know what, Houston, it's a great story. Got everything going in the right direction. Got some people that I'm cheering for. My heart is there. But not so fast, my friend.
Is Noah Brown back?
With the, I don't know. Yeah,
Doesn't matter. C.J. Stroud's back.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud. All right, Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. Can the Eagles right the wrongs of losing five of their last six and just completely dismantling them, their chances down the stretch? Thanks, Philadelphia. To beat Tampa Bay on the road on Monday Night Football. Nick, I'll start with you.
Gosh, this one's weird because, like I've said this week, Philadelphia can turn it on and win the Super Bowl.
Yes,
they can. Or they could fall flat on their face in Tampa Bay and
get the coach fired.
I'm going to take Philadelphia here, but, man, I'm not confident in it.
Okay, Gary?
Is A.J. Brown going to play?
It's a question. I would expect him to play.
All right. Man, I can't stand Philadelphia, but can they really go and lose at Tampa Bay? I mean, they can't do that. They're just more talented. I got to go with the Eagles.
I think so, too. As much as I would want to just pick Tampa Bay and raise the pirate flag for a week, I just think Philadelphia is a better team. Tampa Bay won a bad division. Give me the Eagles.
Cheesesteak.
I've won a lot of games picking these games, and in every one of those, I've gone with my boy, Baker Mayfield. Let me continue to ride with my boy Baker Mayfield. I'm picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I just love that Philadelphia has to wait until Monday to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Love that. This one's going to be a fun one.
Does their coach get fired?
I hope so. You know what? No. I don't.
Don't hope so?
I don't hope so.
I don't think he's going
to. I hope
he stays
there forever.
They just got to rehaul that entire defensive staff, but that's a different conversation.
Los Angeles and the Rams on the road against the Detroit Lions. First ever playoff game at Ford Field.
Really?
And it does include first ever.
Wow.
For Ford Field's been around for a while, and they have not hosted a playoff game there. And Matthew Stafford is a part of it, but he's not wearing the Lions uniform. He's wearing a Rams uniform.
Payback.
How about that? Rams at Lions. Who you got?
I think a lion is more powerful than a ram, so I'm going with the Lions.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I think out in the wild.
You're going with who?
The Lions.
Oh, okay.
Why are you so surprised, Kyle?
I don't know. I was curious. Keep going.
Come back to me.
Come back to you?
Yeah.
Okay, Josh. I'll go first.
Give me the Rams to upset the Detroit Lions.
Ooh.
I think they've, I don't know, they're the hottest team in football. If I had to pick a team that I wanted to avoid in the first round, it was the Rams and the running game and the defense, and Matthew Stafford's been playing hot. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, I like their weapons. I like the fact that they've been in the playoffs before, and they've had some excitement. They've had some ups and downs. Give me the Rams to beat the Lions on the road.
I think the Lions are going to dismantle Matthew Stafford in a big, bad way. Give me the Lions.
Right. Oh, man. This is an opportunity where I can catch one from Kyle, but I think I'm going to take the Rams. I've been saying it all week. I think they're the hottest team in the NFC, and I'm going to stick to that.
Gary.
I think Sean McVay will outcoach Dan Campbell. Give me the Los Angeles Rams.
That's going to be a fun matchup.
Shout out to Sean McVay, too, man.
Nobody
thought he had a chance this year.
Yep.
Like, in the beginning, and I remember him having an interview in the beginning of training camp. He's like, yeah, nobody thinks we can do anything this year, but we got it.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
He's done a really good job there. That game is after the best game of the week. The Dallas Cowboys at AT&T Stadium. It is a whiteout for Cowboys Nation. Against the Green Bay Packers, 3:30 Central Time on Sunday. Gary, who you got in this one?
All right, man, here we go. Dallas has a top-5 offense, a top-5 defense, a top-5 special teams. The only team in the playoffs to have that. They got the second-best quarterback, the best receiver, the league's leading interceptor. We got 7 Pro Bowlers, 5 first-team All-Pros. Not going to be, here we go again, like Jimmy Johnson used to say. This year is different. It starts with Green Bay. Give me Dallas 41, Green Bay 17.
Hey, clip that. That was straight fire. Yeah, Dylan, and Dylan.
4D Burger in the playoffs. Ooh. Gary in New Mexico laying it down. Gary, thanks so much. We appreciate you as always.
All right. Thank y'all, man. Y'all have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. I'm fired up. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, no, that was perfect.
Gary came off
the top.
Was perfect. Who wants to go next?
Cowboys. They're going to kill them.
What's the score?
Let me do 40-20.
40-20. Okay.
42-17, Cowboys.
42-17, so you're right there with Gary. I don't think it'll be a 40-burger. I do think they'll put up some points. Give me Cowboys 37-21. I think they'll...
3 touchdowns, huh?
Yeah, I think they'll score a couple times.
I think this is the perfect matchup for the Cowboys on paper. The only thing that I worry about, as I mentioned earlier, is a rush defense. Can they stop the run? I think they're going to have success with the run. I think Aaron Jones goes for 100 yards, but I think the Cowboys' offense is going to be hot from the word go. Give me the Cowboys 38-24.
I think Jordan Love gets hit in the chest one time and gets happy feet, like a little penguin.
No, he hadn't done it this year. So.
Yeah, that's true. He has not. All right. 2:00 Central Time, did Cowboys you, pregame live at AT&T Stadium. What was that?
I didn't think that you picked.
Oh, I did. Yeah,
but you did.
Yeah, 37-21. Yeah, 2 p.m. Central Time, Cowboys pregame live at AT&T Stadium. We'll be there on the sideline. Come say hi. Come have some fun. These two will be in the press box.
There.
We'll be out in Arlington having some fun. It is Wild Card Weekend.
Woo!
Wear the white shirts. Be loud, be proud, bring the energy, Cowboys Nation. Make some noise in the huddle, like Isaiah
That's
said.
Right.
Make sure that Green Bay knows whose house this is and that the Cowboys remain undefeated at home. We'll be back on Monday to break it down for you. No, we will be back on Tuesday to break it down for you. No shows on Monday.
That's right.
Really?
We're eating queso on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's great to know.
Yeah, no shows on Monday. It's MLK Day, and then we've got queso on Tuesday. Is that?
Drive safe this weekend, too, people.
Yeah, everybody, please be safe in the ice, in the weather, and whatever.
Look for the
else
shiny
might
ground.
Come your way.
Look for the shiny ground.
There you go. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, Josh Rodriguez, Nick Harris, John Machota. Earlier in the week, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. Go Cowboys! Take down the Packers in the wild card round.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah!